Jessica has asked to begin her service, her sermon this evening, with some words from our first lesson in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. I speak to you in the name of God, and his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thresholds are sacred places. A threshold is both a boundary and a transition point. That line between inside and outside marks a change in state for those who approach. It might be a change from exile to citizenship, or from danger to safety. It might also represent a change from freedom to confinement, or from confinement to freedom, walking through a prison door. And for the holy wayfarer, it marks the change from wandering to worshipping. Churches such as this church are set at city gates for thanksgiving, for sanctuary, for welcome, for proclamation, and for blessing. Across the scriptures, gateways are sacred. God waits at human boundaries for an invitation to enter. Lo, I stand at the door and knock. As St. Peter is released from prison by an angel in the Acts of the Apostles, the doors mysteriously stand open and he walks into freedom. God's own gateways are thresholds of presence. Let the everlasting doors be opened, that the King of Glory may come in, proclaims the psalmist. The prophet Isaiah hears the divine praises of the seraphim as he receives his vision of the Lord enthroned in the temple. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, he writes, and the house was filled with smoke. Our God, patient to wait outside the doors of the heart, also shapes the borders of sacred space altogether. And that is why the figure of divine wisdom, of whom we heard in the first lesson, crieth at the gates, at the entry to the city, at the coming in, at the doors. The lessons of wisdom are especially needed at the soul's changing point between outside and inside. What is the traveller coming into? What will that traveller bring into the new space? Will he be left behind? What kinds of truth does wisdom speak when she utters them in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the past? Will wisdom's words, spoken in the height or along the path, alter their meaning within the world of the city? Or will their first import be more needed than ever in the new space? The figure of wisdom, as she appears in the 8th chapter of Proverbs, has long been associated with the figure of Christ. The poet John Milton followed a long tradition when he conflated the two in his 1667 poem, Paradise Lost, in order that Christ should be seen as the co-maker in the dance of creation, the Word who was with God and who was God from the beginning, as it is written in the first chapter of the Gospel of St. John. And in St. John's Gospel, Christ comes into the world, yet he makes the world into which he came. He is both mover and moved, connecting up our fleshly mortality with God's divinity in his own person. He is humanity's gateway. He is our door. To Through him we move from outside God's purview to be held within it, abiding with God. And that is why in the passage we heard from chapter 10 of the Gospel of St. John, Jesus is both the door for the sheep and the shepherd that entereth in by the door. His voice speaks safety and rescue to the flock. He is both a place of sanctuary in a world of danger and the gateway between that dangerous world and the dwelling place of God. We place sacred buildings as gateways to remind us that these are not only earthly boundaries, that churches also stand at the doorway between the world and the holy things of God. The 7th century East Anglian saint for which this ancient church is named, St. Botolph, travelled from his home of fens and waterways into France and brought wisdom back home with him. Traditionally, Botolph is the saint of wayfarers, and he presides over thresholds. After his death, his holy relics, parts of his body, were scattered to churches far and wide. They were revered as material signs connecting God's everlasting presence with his mortal children, marking the transition point between earth and heaven. And the great churches of the city of London bear his name. At Aldersgate, Bishopsgate, and Aldgate. And there was another St. Botolph's at Billingsgate, but lost in the great fire of 1666. Those churches were places of rest, thanksgiving and blessing for travellers coming in and out of the city. This church of St. Botolph, in which we worship, giving thanks for its enduring sign of holiness over 700 years, is a threshold church set at the border of the ancient city of Cambridge. It is there to speak its truth, at that threshold to cry at the gates, at the entry to the city, at the coming in at the doors. It stands at the boundary between earth and heaven, between inside and outside, between travelling and rest, wandering and worshipping. That is its calling. And even though the city has grown beyond its ancient borders, St. Botolph still stands at the gate, as well as being in the centre. Situated on the intersection of two roads, and marking the edge of the city's heart, it reminds a busy place of the stillness of the divine presence, for which the heart seeks like a fleeing deer seeking water. It recalls to a place defined by its past and inhabited always by the fast-changing young, the agelessness of God's eternity. It invites us to pay attention and to give thanks in a world full of distraction and discontent. It is a sign for the times of changeless truth. This day we give thanks for 700 years, 700 years of its witness, and pray for God's blessing upon its future. And now to the only wise God, to his Son, through whom we step into the everlasting presence, and to the Holy Spirit, in whom we abide in safety, we will honour and glory, worship and majesty, world without end. Amen. Amen.